Good morning. How are you?
Good. It's good to be here with you. My name is Ben Jimenez, for those of you that don't know me. I am Jean Paul's son-in-law. And it is my privilege to be here and share the word with you. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of James. James chapter 4, and we are going to look at verses 11 through 12. James chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. So let me read these verses. Let me read from God's word, and then we'll pray. James chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" This is the word of God. This is our passage for today. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your law. We thank you for how you have revealed yourself to us and you have revealed your will to us. And we thank you that when we come to your word, it is like a mirror and it shows us what we look like. It shows us who you are and it shows us the areas in which we are still failing, the areas in which we still need to grow. And as we have a very clear command here today, I pray that you give us humility to acknowledge the areas in which we are failing, and that you give us grace, that you remind us of your love and your grace, that you remind us of the work of your Son Jesus on the cross, that we have an advocate, and that we are forgiven by his work on the cross. And Lord, I pray that you guide us, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit to understand your word and to act upon it, to be doers of the word, not just hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so this was kind of a last-minute thing for me to preach here this morning. And so when I was talking with Tim, we were texting, and he told me, he asked me if I was willing to speak on slander, this particular passage, you know, the passage of speaking evil against one another, speaking against your brother, judging your brother. And, you know, jokingly, I thought to myself, oh, sure, you know, I'm an expert. I'm an expert at judging people, right? And you know, initially that was mostly like a joke for me, but the more I looked at this passage, and the more I got thinking about speaking against others and judging others, the more I realized that really, I am an expert at it. I am an expert at judging others and speaking against others. And so this passage has been very convicting for me, and my prayer is that it's also a passage that is convicting for you as well. Because if we're honest, if we think about it, judging is something that we do all the time. Speaking against others, maybe not audibly, but at least in our minds, is something that we do all the time. Chances are, if we're being really honest, that you've probably already done it this morning. It is such a common sin to judge others, to speak against others, but this is not the way that it was supposed to be. This is not the way that we were created. Remember, when we think back to the book of Genesis, it says that we were created in the image of God. And God is a God of love. He is a God of fellowship. He is a God of communion. And we were created in His image. We were created to love God and to love one another. We were created to love God. We were created to love one another, to have fellowship with one another. But ever since sin entered into the world, because of the sin of Adam, our father, our forefather, we have been feeling this urge to speak against others ever since. Ever since Adam sinned there at the garden, ever since Adam and Eve fell, judging and speaking against others has been an issue for all of mankind. I mean, from the very beginning, when God asks Adam what happened, what is the first thing he does? He speaks against his wife. Right? He says, well, this woman that you gave me, it was her. And then woman took her opportunity, and ever since she hasn't stopped speaking against us. No, I'm just kidding. Ever since the fall, mankind has been speaking against others and judging others. And not only that, but we have also experienced it against us. Not only have we spoken against others and judged others, but I am sure that all of us have also been spoken against and have been judged. And it just doesn't feel good. It's not a good thing, because it's not the way that it was supposed to be. It's not the way that we were created. We were created in the image of God, and we were not supposed to judge others, to speak against others. But as I've been saying, it is all too common for us to do this. And so James, as you have been studying the book of James, you've probably seen by now that James is a very practical book of wisdom. Right? James is imparting wisdom to his readers. And he is speaking about things that are common to all mankind. He is speaking about things that everyone struggles with. And so this passage is no exception. He is speaking against the struggle, the sin of judging others, of speaking against others. And so this is his exhortation for us. He says, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. That's it. That's his exhortation. Do not speak evil against one another. And so we are going to see from this passage, we are going to see three reasons why we, as believers, ought not to speak against others. And why we, as believers, ought not to judge others. And we're going to see these reasons here from these couple of verses. So here are the three reasons. I'm going to give you the three reasons, and then we're going to go over them. We should not speak against or judge our brothers and sisters because, number one, it is inconsistent. Number two, we simply do not have the authority to do it. And number three, because we do not have the power to acquit. We do not have the power to save someone. So we do not speak evil against others. We do not judge others because it is inconsistent, because we simply do not have the authority to do it, and because we do not have the power to save or to acquit. And so let's look at the first one. If we've been paying attention to the book of James, it seems like one of James's biggest concerns is that we live a consistent life. One of James's biggest concerns is that we live consistently with what we say that we believe, right? That we are doers of the word and not just hearers, right? Remember how he says it earlier, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So James is concerned about consistency. James is saying to us, if you really believe that the perfect law, the law of freedom, the word of God, if you really believe that it is true, which most of us would say, yeah, absolutely, I believe that, then James is saying you should live consistently. You should also do what you say that you believe. And so in this case, James is saying, well, guess what? If you judge or speak against someone, you are not being consistent with what you say you believe. And this is the reasoning. This is his reasoning in the second part of verse 11. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. So how does this work? What is the inconsistency here? Well, think about it. When we judge others, when we speak against others, we are implying or we are assuming that we ourselves are doing well, right? We are implicitly saying, well, that person over there, they are not obeying God, or they are not doing what, you know, what they are supposed to do. But me, on the other hand, I'm doing well. I mean, remember the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? When they go to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee is like, God, I thank you so much because I do this, and I fast, and I tithe, and I do all these good things. Thank you that I'm not like other people that do these things. Thank you that I'm not like that tax collector. Right? So that is the heart of judging. It's saying, I am not like that person. I am doing well. I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But James gives us a reality check and says, well, guess what? By judging someone else, you are actually breaking the law. And then he says, and remember what I said about breaking the law? Whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So James is reminding us of the reality that we might be keeping all the other commandments of the law of God, of the word of God, but the moment that we judge someone else, even if our assessment of them might be correct, we are breaking the law by judging them, by speaking evil against them, and that makes them guilty of the whole thing. So judging others, speaking of others, might seem like not that big of a deal. I mean, as I was telling you, it's a very common sin. It's not something that someone confesses, hey, guess what, I've been judging people, and they're like, oh, ooh, that's terrible, you know, we should call the elders and have a meeting to excommunicate you. No one says that. Because it's such a common thing. But James here is giving us a reality check and saying, if you judge others, you are judging the law. In other words, you are saying, I am a judge of the law, and I determine what commands I want to obey and what commands I don't want to obey. And so I am determining that I'm going to obey these commands of not committing murder and not committing adultery, but I don't care about this specific command to love my brother or to love my neighbor as myself. I do not care about the words of Jesus that say, do not judge others. I do not care about those specific commands about speaking against other people. That's basically what you're saying when you judge others. That's why James is saying that we become judges of the law. and that we speak evil against the law. Isn't it ironic that when we judge others, we do it because we think that we are doing so well and they are doing poorly? It is ironic because in reality, we are not doing that well. Remember the words of Jesus. He says, "Judge not, that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you not see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." That is the irony, that we think that we are doing so well when we judge others. But if we're honest, the more tempted we feel to judge others, the more likely it is that there is a huge, massive log in our eye. The more likely it is that there is unaddressed sin in our own eye. Because the greater our understanding it is of our own sinfulness, the greater it is our understanding of the weight of our own sin, the more reluctant we are going to be to judge others for their sin. Because we are not going to see ourselves as superior and we're going to see them as inferior because they are in sin. No, we're going to see ourselves as equal, saying, "Hey, we are struggling with the same thing. We are both struggling with our sin." So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So that's the first reason. We ought not to judge others or speak against others because it is not consistent. Now the second reason is we should not judge or speak against others because we simply do not have the authority to do it. Look at the words of James in verse 12. "There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" Who are you? Who are we to judge our neighbor? So the reason is that we simply don't have the authority to do it. We did not come up with the law. We did not come up with the word of God. It was God who came up with his word. It was God who came up with his law. He did not make us judges. He didn't say, "Ben, I entrust you with the task of judging everyone and just telling them if they're wrong or if they're right." No. Never did that. He is the law giver. He is the judge. He is the only one who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge your neighbor? That point is clear. I don't think there's any more explanation that I need to do on that point. Who are we? We just do not have the authority to judge others. Now, there is another point that I have here, and is that we do not have the power to acquit. We should not judge others or speak against others because we do not have the power to acquit or to save. What do I mean here? Well, I mean that imagine for a moment that our assessment of others is correct. Imagine for a moment that I'm doing pretty well, I've confessed my sins, my conscience is clear, and my assessment of my brother is correct. Even if I were to judge them and speak against them, and it would be a correct assessment, I do not possess the power to do anything to absolve or to acquit that person for the sin that I'm judging them for. Does that make sense? That I don't have the authority or the power to say, hey, you are in sin, but don't worry, I'm going to forgive you. I just don't have the authority. I am a fellow, what's the term? I'm a fellow defendant, right? I'm not the judge. I'm not the attorney. I'm just the next in line to be judged. Have you ever been to a court? I've been to a few of, so I'm going to say something, then I'm going to explain. I've been to a few courts for where they are doing the DUIs. Now let me explain. I've been there helping interpret for people, for Spanish speakers. But it's interesting because, you know, everyone is just sitting there, and there's the judge, there's the the lawyers, everyone there, and then the defendants are just sitting and waiting to go, you know, and they go and they say, okay, this happened, whatever, reschedule, or you know, whatever it is that they determine. But no one really gets to look at the person next to them and be like, you terrible person. No. They're all there just for the same thing. You know, they're all there because they know that they mess it up. And so maybe some of them might be talking about it and say, hey, you know what? Yeah, we both messed up, but guess what? I know a really good lawyer that can get you out of this. Or guess what? I know a lawyer that is in good standing with the judge. So let me tell you that. And probably you probably know what I'm getting to, but let me go back for a moment. We cannot judge people or speak against people because we do not have the power to acquit them. We do not have the power to save them. In Paul's words in Romans 14, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. There is no escaping. Every single word that we did, every single thought that we had will be brought forth and will have to be accounted for. I guess that saying that I really hate this saying, but I guess it is true. Only God can judge me. I guess it is true. Yeah, only God can judge you, but that's a frightful thing. I'd rather someone else judge me who doesn't have the authority to do anything about it. But God, the righteous and perfect judge, is the only one who can judge you. And if you are not in good standing with the judge, and if you don't know a good lawyer, man, it's a frightful thing. It's a frightful thing. Now, here are the good news. So far, I've been giving you mostly bad news. So far, I've been trying to get us to see how common of a sin it is to judge others, to speak against others. And my hope and my prayer is that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, in your lives, and showing you how you have been committing this sin. And maybe it wasn't even on your radar, and I'm sorry if I just put it on your radar. Because it's been tough. Like this last week, I've been thinking about it, and I've found myself doing it over and over. But here are the good news. The good news is that this judge, God, the judge, he provided a solution for our sin. We cannot provide a solution. We cannot acquit people. We cannot forgive people. We cannot save people or condemn people. God is the only one who can save and forgive people. That's what James says here. He is able to save and to destroy. And because of that, he is the only one who can offer and provide a solution for our sin. He is the only one that at the moment of the arraignment, when he is reading us the things that we're accused for, he is the only one that with that he provides the solution to it. He says, this is what you are guilty of. But here is my son Jesus, and I am giving him, and he died on the cross to take the punishment that you deserved. He is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, he is the one who perfectly satisfies the wrath, the righteous wrath of God. He is the one that when he dies and takes the punishment, then the wrath of God is satisfied. And so everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ does not have to fear condemnation. Everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ does not have to be afraid to appear before the judgment seat of God. Everyone who is, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so, when you are convicted of your own sin, when you find yourself judging others, speaking against others, you need to remind yourself, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you need to remind yourself and say, it is by the grace of God that I am going to be able to stand in the judgment. It is by the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross and by his resurrection that I am going to be able to stand before God. It is only by his grace. It is only by his mercy. It is because Jesus is my advocate before the Father that my sins will be and are forgiven. And when we find ourselves in the middle of a temptation to judge others, to speak against others, to have judgeful thoughts against others, we need to remind ourselves that we do not have the authority to judge others. That God is the only one with the authority to judge others. That God is the only one that can truly and rightfully say, what you did is wrong and is sin. But now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we just never say anything? That we just let, you know, everyone do whatever they want because, you know, we're not supposed to judge people? Well, I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. I think the Bible does teach that we should exhort one another and we should rescue one another from sin. You know, in fact, Galatians 6:1-2 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch of yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So if you find others and you see that what they're doing is wrong, don't think of yourself as the judge. Think of yourself as a fellow defendant and come to that person and say, hey, I'm trying to understand why you're doing this, and let me tell you that I struggle with things like this myself. Let me tell you that I struggle with sin myself, but also let me tell you that I know the judge. And if that person is a believer, you say, and you know the judge too. And let me tell you that because of the work of the Lord Jesus, there is now no condemnation for you. This is what John says in his first letter. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we ought not to judge others because it is inconsistent, because by doing it, we are breaking the law. We're not to judge others because we simply do not have the authority to do it. We're not the lawgivers, we're not the judge. And we are not to judge and speak against others because we do not have the power to acquit people. So brothers and sisters, be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Let's pray. God, we thank you that with the charges presented against us, you provide the solution. You provide your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would continue to live lives of repentance and faith. That we would continue to repent from our sin, confess it to you, and grow in our faith of you, of your Son, Jesus. I pray that you help us identify our own sin, that you help us identify the areas in which we are sinning against others, in which we are not loving our neighbor as ourselves. And I pray that we come to you assured that we will be able to stand before you because of the work of your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.